Run, Think, Shoot, Live. Welcome to episode 3, in which we are covering the game Half-Life. Half-Life, styled as H Lambda symbol LF-LIFE, is a science fiction first-person shooter developed and published by Valve Software. The player takes the perspective of a scientist named Gordon Freeman. Designed for Microsoft's Windows, the game uses a heavily modified version of the Quake engine called GoldSource, spelt G-O-L-D-S-R-C. In Half-Life, players assume the role of a protagonist, Dr. Gordon Freeman, a recent MIT graduate in the theoretical physics, and also a recent employee at Black Mesa. After an experiment that goes horribly awry, when an unexpected resonance cascade, an apparently completely fictitious occurrence, rips dimensional seams that devastate the facility, Gordon Freeman must fight to escape the now alien-infested facility as creatures from another world, known as Zen, subsequently enter in ever-increasing numbers through these dimensional seams. The game is set during May 2000-something in a remote area of New Mexico, USA, at the Black Mesa Research Facility, a fictional complex that bears similarities to both the Los Alamos Laboratory and Area 51. As Freeman tries to make his way out of the ruined facility to find help for the injured, he soon discovers that he's caught between two sides, the hostile aliens and the Hazardous Environment Combat Unit, a military force dispatched to cover up the incident, including eliminating Freeman and the rest of the Black Mesa science team. Throughout the game, a mysterious figure known as the G-Man regularly appears, apparently monitoring Freeman's progress. Ultimately, Gordon uses the cooperation of the surviving scientists and security officers to work his way through the mysterious Lambda complex, where a team of scientists teleport him into Zen, where he must destroy the Nihilanth, a creature keeping Zen's side of the dimensional rift open. Half-Life's plot was originally inspired by the computer games Doom and Quake, both produced by id Software, Stephen King's novel The Mist, and an episode of The Outer Limits called The Borderland. Valve's in-house writer and author Mark Laidlaw, who wrote the books Dad's Nuke and The 37th Mandala, later developed and expanded the plot. However, the most distinctive aspect of the game is not the plot itself, rather the way it is presented to the player. The game tells the story by flowing into scripted sequences that are integrated as part of the game rather than as cutscene intermissions. These sequences range from the introduction of major plot points, such as the resonance cascade, to bringing the player into a particularly difficult part of the level. Two of the intended results of this style of presentation were to increase the immersion and to maintain a contiguous narrative that keeps the player's interest throughout the game. This differed from games at the time, making Half-Life distinct, as well as defining conventions that would last for years to come. Valve implemented other factors to heighten the feeling of immersion, such as preventing the player from seeing or hearing their own character, who remains a silent protagonist throughout the game, and ensuring that the player rarely loses the ability to control Gordon, even during monologues. This constant experience of the game allowed players to totally fulfill and customize the role of Gordon, whilst letting them know exactly who they were playing as. The scripted sequences maintain flow by keeping the player immersed in the game, whereas cutscenes in other contemporary games had often been a diversion from previous segments of gameplay. The levels for Half-Life were also divided into small sections to minimize long interruptions from loading. Main characters consist of Gordon Freeman, the G-Man, Eli Vance, Gina Cross, Barney Calhoun, Wallace Breen, Arnie Magnusson, the Black Mesa scientists, and the Black Mesa security guards. The enemies include the Zen aliens, comprised of alien controllers, alien grunts, alien slaves, also known as Vortigaunts, barnacles, bull squids, the Gargantua, the Gonarch, the Headcrab, the Houndeye, the Ichthyosaur, the Leech, the Nihilanth, the Tentacle, and the Zombie. The Hazard Environment Combat Unit consists of HECU soldiers, HECU vehicles, and Sentry guns. The Black Ops consisted of female Black Ops and male Black Ops, although it was often hard to distinguish between the two. Excuse me, that would be my bean burrito. Let's go over the weapons. There are 14 weapons available to the player, both in single-player and multiplayer. Many reviews of Half-Life mention the impressive functionality and usefulness of the weapon's designs. Each weapon's damage profile is distinct, none feeling superfluous or excessively powerful. Each has a specific advantage in the appropriate situation. The weapons are a crowbar, a simple melee weapon with many advantages. It has become the iconic symbol of Gordon Freeman and the Half-Life series as a whole, useful for breaking objects and bludgeoning approaching enemies such as headcrabs. The Glock 17, the most basic ranged weapon, accurate with an Accurate and with average stopping power, this 9mm pistol is unique in that it can be fired underwater. Standard issue with all Black Mesa security guards, ammunition is always plentiful. Also, if you have the high-definition pack installed through Steam, this gun will look like a Beretta M9. The 357 Magnum, also known as the Colt Python Revolver. Powerful and accurate with a slow rate of fire, ammunition is somewhat scarce, however it'll often kill any enemy up to a bull squid with one shot. The MP5, fully automatic with poor stopping power and accuracy, but high magazine capacity and rate of fire. Equipped with a grenade launcher, standard issue with all HECU troops. It shares ammunition with the Glock 17. Also, if your high-definition pack is installed through Steam, this gun will look like an M4. The SPAS-12. Powerful at close range, but has a low rate of fire and a long reload time. It also comes with the ability to fire two shells at once, thus killing enemies more quickly. Issued to certain HECU soldiers, if the high-definition pack is installed through your Steam client, this gun will have folding stocks. The Crossbow. The only sniper weapon in Half-Life. Its projectile is highly accurate, but slow-moving, making it difficult to use against fast-moving targets. Similar to the Glock 17, it can be fired underwater. The Hive Hand, also known as the Hornet Gun. The same weapon used by the alien guards, this gun is a living creature, which appears to be a larva of some sort, because it sports no legs. This gun has a short firing time, and it's also less powerful. However, it has the advantage of infinitely recharging ammunition. You can also fire hornets directly, although with no homing ability, but a somewhat increased stopping power. The RPG. Extremely powerful, but must be reloaded after each shot. Alternative fire activates and deactivates the laser sight. With the laser sight active, the rockets will track the laser to its target, making it useful for taking down helicopters and other flying vehicles or long-range enemies. Similar to the Glock 17 and the crossbow, it can be fired underwater, but rockets become much slower. The Tau Cannon. An experimental weapon that rapidly shoots beams of tau particles that reflect off surfaces if hit indirectly. Secondary fire charges the weapon up to a more powerful beam that can penetrate thin walls and pushes the user in the opposite direction. The recoil is deliberately exaggerated in multiplayer, so the player can gauss jump very high and reach hidden areas or escape possible opponents. This feature is a deliberate nod to rocket jumping in Quake, which is not possible in Half-Life. If the gun is kept charged for too long, oh, say about 10 seconds, it overloads and discharges, damaging its wielder, as comically represented just before its discovery by Gordon. Gluon Gun. This experimental weapon, named by its creator, fires out a beam of concentrated energy that disrupts its target's molecules. It looks and operates similar to the proton pack used by characters in the movie Ghostbusters. Because of its internal weapon name, Weapon_Egon, it is also known as the Egon Gun. This is probably a reference to the Ghostbusters character Egon Spengler. MK2 Grenade. A handheld thrown explosive similar to most grenades. It explodes after 5 seconds and can be bounced off walls. Issued to HECU grunts, supplies are often found in supply depots. Laser Trip Mine. A high-explosive claymore mine-like device that can be attached to walls. It is set off either by damaging the mine or by crossing through the laser tripwire emitted from it. In multiplayer, it can be used in the form of steps by attaching them to a wall in a stair-like fashion, forming a route to jump up. The Satchel Charge. A potent explosive that can be thrown a short distance and detonated remotely. And finally, snarks. Aggressive and small alien creatures that quickly pursue their target, pestering and biting, until finally exploding after several seconds, if not shot. If they cannot locate a hostile target, they will turn on the player that set them loose, making them at times enemies. Half-Life was the first product for Kirkland, Washington-based developer Valve Software, which was founded in 1996 by former Microsoft employees Mike Harrington and Gabe Newell. They settled on a concept for a horror-themed 3D action game and licensed the Quake engine from id Software. Valve eventually modified the engine a great deal, notably adding skeletal animation and direct 3D support. A developer later stated that 70% of the engine's code was rewritten. At first, Valve had difficulties finding a publisher, many believing their project too ambiguous for a studio head by newcomers to the game industry. However, Sierra Online had been very interested in making a 3D action game, especially one based on the Quake engine, and so signed them for a one-game deal. The original code name for Half-Life was Quiver, after the Arrowhead military base from Stephen King's novel, The Mist, which served as early inspiration for the game. Gabe Newell explained in an interview that the name Half-Life was chosen because it was evocative of the theme, not cliched, And it had a corresponding visual symbol, the Greek letter lambda, which represents the decay constant in the Half-Life equation. The first public appearances of Half-Life came in early 1997. It was a hit at the Electronic Entertainment Expo that year, where they primarily demonstrated the animation system and artificial intelligence. Valve Software hired science fiction author Mark Laidlaw in August 1997 to work on the game's characters, story, and level design. Half-Life was originally planned to be shipped in late 1997 to compete with Quake 2, but was postponed when Valve decided the game needed a significant revision. In a 2003 making-of feature in Edge, Newell discussed the team's early difficulties with level design. In desperation, a single level was assembled including every weapon, enemy, scripted event, and level design quirk that the designers had come up with so far. The single level inspired the studio to press on with the game. As a result, the studio completely reworked the game's artificial intelligence and levels in the year leading up to its release. At E3 1998, it was given the Games Critic Award for Best PC Game and Best Action Game at the Expo. The release date was scheduled several times before the game was finally released in November of that year. Half-Life had its first major public appearance at the 1997 Electronic Entertainment Expo, where it was widely acclaimed. On its release, critics had hailed its overall presentation and its numerous scripted sequences, and it won over 50 PC Game of the Year awards. Its gameplay influenced first-person shooters for years to come, and it has since been regarded as one of the greatest games of all time. As of October 2008, Half-Life sold 9.3 million copies. As of July 14, 2006, the Half-Life franchise has sold over 20 million units. According to GameSpy, Half-Life is the most played online PC game, excluding MMORPGs, ahead of Half-Life 2. In celebration of the game's 10th anniversary, Valve lowered the price of Half-Life from $9.99 to 98 cents on October 8, 2008, for 3 days. Half-Life was ported to the PlayStation 2 by Gearbox Software and released in 2001. This version of the game had a significant overhaul in terms of player models, weapons, and more advanced extended levels and general map geometry. Also added was head-to-head play and a co-op expansion called Half-Life Decay that allowed players to play as two female scientists, Gina Cross and Colette Green, at Black Mesa. Versions for the Sega Dreamcast and Apple Macintosh were essentially completed, but never commercially released. Gearbox Software was slated to release a port to the Sega Dreamcast under contract by Valve and their publisher Sierra Online near the end of 2000. At the ECTS 2000, a build of the game was playable on the publisher's stand, and developers Randy Pitchford and Brian Martell attended to show off and give interviews to the press. However, despite only being weeks from going gold, it was never commercially released. Sierra announced that Half-Life on the Dreamcast was cancelled due to changing market conditions, presumably the first-party abandonment of the falling Dreamcast. The following year, Sierra Online showed a PlayStation 2 port at E3 2001. This version was released in North America in late October the same year, followed by a European release just a month later. Around the same time, Half-Life Blue Shift, which was intended to be a Dreamcast-exclusive midquel, was released on PC as the second Half-Life expansion. Although it was never officially released, the Dreamcast version was leaked onto the internet and was proven fully playable. The leak contains full version of Half-Life and Blue Shift, both with an early version of the high-definition pack. It was from this port that the pack was spawned. The leaked Dreamcast version had somewhat inconsistent framerate and lengthier load times between areas. In addition, there are some saving problems. The number of blocks required to save on a VMU increases rapidly as the player reaches the end of the level, then drops at the start of the next level. While the game allows the player to remove files to increase space, sometimes it still isn't enough. The console's mouse and keyboard peripherals are supported, if preferred, over the standard controller. If the controller is used, the game adds an auto-aim feature, so that when an enemy nears the center of the player's vision, the aiming crosshair will shift over towards the enemy to make shooting them easier. The game's controls are customizable. The game has no multiplayer mode and lacks the parental feature of the PC version, meaning players cannot turn off the jibs. It does have an interesting password feature, however. With three dials, the user makes various phrases such as Otis loves Dreamcast for God mode, Fear of Gravity, jump to Zen in Half-Life, or Barney goes to work. Skip the intro and Blue Shift and jump right into the main game. Pre-Resonance Cascade, of course. Though more or less complete and ready to go for mass production, the Macintosh port of Half-Life was scrapped because of its incompatibility with the PC version's multiplayer mode. Additionally, concerns over the task load associated with providing technical support on more than one platform may have had a contribution to its initial demise. In early 2013, Valve released a beta version for Half-Life for OS X and Linux in secret. While Steam still listed the game as Windows only, it could be downloaded and played on OS X and Linux computers. It was initially listed as Half-Life Beta, while played on the Mac and Linux. Even if it was listed as beta, it still featured the complete, fully playable game. The game could be purchased directly from the OS X and Linux clients as well. Later in 2013, the stable release of the game was officially released for Linux and Mac, listing it as officially available for these platforms on Steam. To experience firsthand the processes mod makers would have to go through with the new engine, Valve ported Half-Life, dubbed Half-Life Source, and Counter-Strike to the new Source engine. Half-Life Source is a straight port, lacking new content or the Blue Shift high-definition pack. However, it does take advantage of vertex and pixel shaders for more realistic water effects, as well as Half-Life 2's realistic physics engine. They also added several other features from Half-Life 2, including improved dynamic light map, vertex map, and shadow map system with cleaner, higher resolution, and specular texture normal maps. They also added several other features from Half-Life 2, including an improved dynamic light map, vertex map, and shadow map system with cleaner, higher resolution, and specular texture normal maps. They also utilized the use of render-to-texture soft shadows found in Half-Life 2's Source engine, along with polygonal 3D skybox replacements in place of the old 16-bit color pre-rendered bitmap skies. Also redesigned was the crossbow that will pin its targets to a nearby wall if they're close enough, and the Colt Python, which will zoom in as if it were in multiplayer. The Source engine itself, however, is not perfect. Certain control issues are generally regarded as a problem, such as ladder bounce, where disconnecting from a ladder always gives a sideways vector boost, which can be undesirable when trying to move near a ladder on a platform over a fall. Fall push, where moving off a platform into a fall gives a sideways vector boost, and jumping from platforms, where the graphics engine tends to lead the player to think a jump can be made later than it actually can. Naturally, Half-Life Source possesses the Source engine's control weakness as well as its graphical strengths. Half-Life Source is also available with special editions of Half-Life 2 and on Steam. This port has been criticized for not utilizing many of the features of the Source engine found in Half-Life 2, as it still uses textures and models from the original game. Due to this, a third-party remake called Black Mesa is under development. On September 26, 2005, a port of Day of Defeat to Source, dubbed Day of Defeat Source, was released. On June 10, 2005, Valve announced through their Steam Update news service an upcoming port of Half-Life Deathmatch Source, the multiplayer portion of the original game, much in the same fashion of the earlier released Half-Life Source. No exact release date was given, simply the words, in coming weeks. On May 1st, 2006, Half-Life Deathmatch Source was released. Now it's time to talk about the expansion packs. Two expansion packs made by the developer Gearbox Software have been released for the PC version: Half-Life Opposing Force, released in 1999, and Half-Life Blue Shift, released in 2001. Half-Life Opposing Force returns the player to Black Mesa during the events of the Half-Life storyline, but this time from the perspective of the U.S. Marines sent to cover up the incident. It introduced several new weapons, most notably the M249, SAW, LMG, and the Barnacle Grappling Gun, new non-player characters, both friendly and hostile, Otis Lowry, the security guard, and the Race X aliens, respectively, and new previously unseen areas of the facility. The expansion is much shorter than Half-Life, having 12 chapters to the original's 19. Blue Shift returns the player to Half-Life's storyline once more, this time as one of the facility's security guards. Originally developed as a bonus mission for the cancelled Dreamcast version, Blue Shift came with an optional high-definition pack that could update the look of Half-Life, Opposing Force, and the new Blue Shift content. In particular, the model's polygon count and texture resolutions were increased, and some changes were made to the in-game sounds, most notably the shotgun. Blue Shift had relatively little new content compared to Opposing Force, aside from a few new models, jacketless scientists, and security guards, Otis and Dr. Rosenberg. All content was already presented in the original Half-Life. Decay was another expansion by Gearbox, released only as an extra in the PlayStation 2 version of Half-Life. The add-on featured cooperative gameplay in which two players could solve puzzles and fight alongside the many foes in Black Mesa. An unofficial PC port of this expansion was released on September 22nd, 2008 by Ukrainian developer as a modification. In 2000, a pack called Half-Life Platinum Collection was released, including the following titles: Half-Life, Counter-Strike, Team Fortress Classic, and Half-Life Opposing Force. In 2002, the pack was re-released with Half-Life Blue Shift included. Today it is shown on the Steam Store as the Half-Life 1 Anthology, without Counter-Strike. The Game of the Year edition, Half-Life, came packaged with Team Fortress Classic. After its release in 1998, Half-Life saw a fervent support from independent game developers due to no small part and support and encouragement from Valve Software. Worldcraft, the level design tool used during the game's development, was included with the game's software. Printed materials accompanying the game indicated Worldcraft's essential release as a retail product, but these plans never materialized. Valve also released a software development kit, enabling developers to modify the game and create mods. Both tools were significantly updated with the release of version 1.1.0.0. Many supporting tools, including texture editors, model editors, and rival level editors like the multiple engine editor Quark, were either created or updated to work with Half-Life. Half-Life's code has been released and is being used as a base for many multiplayer mods, such as the immensely popular Counter-Strike. Other popular multiplayer mods include Team Fortress Classic, Day of Defeat, Deathmatch Classic, Action Half-Life, Firearms, and Natural Selection. Team Fortress Classic and Deathmatch Classic were both developed in-house at Valve Software. Some mods, such as Counter-Strike and Day of Defeat, that began life as the work of independent developers, self-termed modders, later received aid from Valve. There was even a free team-based multiplayer mod called Underworld Bloodline, created to promote the Sony Pictures film Underworld. Numerous single-player mods have also been created, such as USS Darkstar, a futuristic action-adventure on board a zoological research spaceship, the Xeno Project 1 and 2, a two-part mod starting in Xen and again including spaceships, Edge of Darkness, which features some unused Half-Life models, Half-Life Absolute Redemption, which brings back Gordon Freeman for additional episodes and another encounter with G-Man, The Hunger, a survival horror total conversion trilogy involving zombies, Polk 646, a follow-up to the original Half-Life story with improved graphics, and Xen Warrior, based on Half-Life Chronicles, the player controls an alien grunt similar to Point of View, which players take on the role of a Vortigaunt, and Half-Life Zombie Edition, where the player plays as a headcrab. Some Half-Life modifications eventually landed on retail shelves. Counter-Strike was the most successful, unexpectedly becoming the biggest-selling online game to date and having been released in several editions. As a standalone project, as part of the Platinum Collection, Counter-Strike Condition Zero, and the newest edition, Counter-Strike Source, which runs on Half-Life 2's Source Engine. Team Fortress Classic had a visual upgrade to the Source Engine, becoming stylized Team Fortress 2. Day of Defeat also received Source treatment, becoming Day of Defeat Source. Gunman Chronicles, a futuristic Western movie-style total conversion with emphasis on its single-player mode, was also released as a standalone product. The sequel Half-Life 2 was merely a rumor until it finally revealed at E3 in May 2003, which ignited a firestorm of hype surrounding the game. The player again takes the role of Gordon Freeman, this time several years after the Black Mesa incident, in the dystopian City 17, where he must fight as a part of a rebellion against an oppressive alien regime. After a series of controversies and delays, Half-Life 2 was released on November 16, 2004. Half-Life 2 Episode 1 continues the story plot along with Half-Life 2 Episode 2, which was released in October 2007. No date has been set for the release of the final episode, which will end the Half-Life 2 story arc. Half-Life's soundtrack consists of specially composed track by Kelly Bailey, who also composed much of the music on the rest of the series. He was also responsible for the game's in-game sounds. Here's some fun facts about Half-Life. Director Quentin Tarantino, who is said to be a Half-Life fan, has reportedly considered the possibility of directing a movie adaptation. Valve has stated, however, that they had no contact with Quentin Tarantino or any of his people. Valve went on to comment that, "We've had many conversations with folks in Hollywood, but have no commitments for a Half-Life movie at this time." Although many Hollywood scripts for a Half-Life movie have been sent to Valve, they have been turned away as Valve said they all sucked. The Half-Life series draws some inspiration from various adaptations of H.G. Wells' The War of the Worlds. The Vortigaunts, who appear throughout the series, are almost identical to the Mortax aliens from War of the Worlds TV series. Half-Life, as well as three expansions, are named after scientific terms. Half-Life refers to radioactive decay, When Gordon puts on his hazard suit in the first level, there are two empty hazard suit slots. According to the decayed developer, Gearbox's CEO, Randy Pitchford, these belong to, or were used by, the decay protagonists Gina Cross and Colette Green. Half-Life holds the record for the best-selling first-person shooter of all times in the Guinness Book of World Records, Gamers Edition, 2008. Due to censorship in the German version of Half-Life, the HECU grunts have been replaced with robot grunts. The robot grunt blood is now changed to oil, and there are machine part jibs for the grunts. In addition, blood and other violent parts of the game has been removed. Scientists and security guards now sit down and shake their heads rather than dying. Due to many requests from fans, many modders have been trying to port Half-Life to the PlayStation Portable. And last but not least, if Gordon kills an important NPC, like a scientist opening the portal, a black screen will come up implying that the G-Man has been intentionally evaluating Gordon's actions throughout the entire game. We hope you enjoyed this motherload episode of Half-Life Podcast, and if you want more information about the game series and characters and levels and everything else in between, visit half-life.wikia.com. Thank you for listening. This is Dr. Isaac Kleiner signing out. The release date was scheduled several...